"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Yeah, well, we got a lot to get to. Believe it or not, I was surprised to see this. The headline in the El Segundo Times today, both online and in the newspaper, survey finds wider support for LA police.
Yeah.
Look at that.
How about that?
More people approve of officers despite some concerns.
Concerns.
We'll tell you what was in
Concerns from the criminals.
I guess. And this is clearly the result of what we're seeing in the increase in crime. People now understand there's a need for a police and more of them. So we'll talk about that coming up. We're going to begin with a story we mentioned yesterday, really disturbing. On Sunday, a Los Angeles County deputy probation officer came home to her residence in Lancaster. And, well, she had an intruder. And she was beaten to death. And her name is Paula Lind. The intruder, it turns out, is a local vagrant. We're going to talk now to Steve Gregory for more on this story.
Hey, guys. So we are learning some more information. It would appear that that Paula Lind is who we're talking about, 16-year veteran of the LA County Probation Office. She was not, in fact, coming home, that we're being told now. She was already at home. And this person that you're talking about was actually trying to break into homes down the street, down the block a little bit. And the way it's explained to me, and I want to make it clear, first of all, this is a warning for people that this is going to be a little graphic in nature. So I just want to put that out there right
now.
Yeah,
this is really gross.
This is some bad stuff. So I just want to make sure that that's clear. Secondly, I have received information from three different sources with similar details. But we have not, KFI News has not been able to independently confirm all of this, but I have to say all of that before I go, because we're talking about the details of this case. The guy was down the street from the home at the 45500 block of Barrymore Avenue in Lancaster, just after midnight into Sunday morning, 12:05 Sunday morning. And Paula had seen this man getting closer, or had seen him in backyards. And she had a shotgun, and this guy apparently kind of run up on her and got into the house. She retreated to the bathroom, I'm told. And by this time, she had already called 911. So she was on the phone with 911. Unfortunately, her shotgun was not loaded, so she was not able to shoot the intruder. And I was told that the guy picked up a part of the toilet, presumably the back part of the tank.
Yeah.
And bludgeoned her to death with it. And while she laid there gasping for air, still with 911, he raped her. And then she passed away, and he continued to rape her while she was dead.
Oh.
At which point...
what's George Gascon going to do with this case?
Deputies were able to arrive on scene, and they were able to take him into custody. And here's the interesting thing beyond that. So I get a copy of the felony complaint. And it's called a John Doe complaint because they have no idea who this guy is. But I do have information now that he's not a U.S. citizen and that he's an illegal immigrant, possibly from Central or South America.
And homeless?
That was not indicated, but they do have his birth date, which I thought was odd.
Well, if they have his birth date, they have his name.
Not necessarily.
How do you get a birth date without
a name? Well, if he didn't have ID and he doesn't give up his name and he doesn't have ID, but he gives them the birth date, that might be the only thing they have to go on. So they've filed a complaint under John Doe with a birth date of December 19th, 1989.
So no criminal record associated with that? Or?
Well, now, again, sources in law enforcement have said that he does have a criminal background and that he may have been...
And there is a name.
That he may have committed other felonies in his home country.
I see.
So...
Do we know what home country?
Again, it was either Central or South America.
Right.
I had been told El Salvador, but that's not been confirmed.
Right.
So, and then
we also don't know if the birth date's accurate.
No, so we don't know, but it's unusual. So his arraignment's been moved to October 26th. But everyone that I spoke with about this case, the stories are all very similar with little varying details and nuances to the details. So, but the gist of it is he got into the house, beat her to death and proceeded to rape her. And even while she passed away and was dead, he continued to rape her.
She was not targeted then, you don't think?
No, in this, I was told that she was not. I was told he had his eyes on other things, other properties down the street and had been seen and then kind of escaped.
If she was aware of him, how did he get into the house?
That I don't know specifically. The way it was explained was that he was outside, got into the backyard, and entered through her back door. And by then, she retreated to the bathroom and had the shotgun. And since she didn't open fire or shoot, he just kept advancing on her. And then eventually... Got into the bathroom where she had been barricaded or barricading herself. And then that's when everything
happened.
He must
have been awfully strong.
Yeah, well, born in 89, what would he be, in the late 20s, early 30s?
Early
30s, yeah. So, I don't know much other than that. But again, I hadn't dealt with a John Doe complaint. I can't remember the last time I dealt with a John Doe complaint.
Yeah, I'm suspicious.
Yeah, a lot of the
that.
Media was flummoxed by this ID part, right?
Yeah, because
there's no sense he's got a record in L.A. County. Or anybody.
We don't know that. We don't know.
Because Gascon has jumped on this case and filed charges quickly. And when he does something like that to get ahead of a story, usually it's because it involves some leniency on his part in the past. So I wondered if this guy had a recent arrest or conviction and he got out on a cheap sentence or a cheap bail. And that's why Gascon is working so quickly.
So when I talked to... someone on the investigative side about this, had also been suggested they were leaving the name out because he is an illegal immigrant. And that had been suggested to me that perhaps that was by design. And that,
that's weird. I mean, 50% of LA is Latino. So
yeah,
a Latino name doesn't give any clue to immigration status.
Well, it doesn't. But then what happens is typically reporters will call ICE and they'll ask for background on this particular person. And then they'll get their background. Whether or not they're U.S. citizens
or not. There's a real shutdown on information like that now. Huh?
Yeah, again, I don't know that that's the case. It had just been suggested to me that that could be an issue.
Because we're seeing this with the L.A. Times is doing stuff like that. They wouldn't identify homeless people as homeless.
Sure. Yeah.
They wouldn't identify race anymore, all this stuff. And I wondered how much law enforcement is now engaging in this kind of...
Well, I know that I can tell you the L.A. County Sheriff's Department won't, they don't have that policy, and I know the LAPD won't do it. The LAPD will, they'll soft pedal a little more than the Sheriff's Department will when it comes to information, because there have been press conferences where I'll ask the question and I'll get the runaround in the middle of the press conference, and then I have my answer.
One media outlet yesterday reported that he was a known transient in the Lancaster area, that people knew who he was, so... But they're not confirming that either, that he's homeless.
No.
So no address on the John Doe either.
No address, other than, just like I said, I found it odd that there was a birth date.
Well, maybe it's the Triple Crown.
They have a
vagrant, an illegal alien, and an inmate.
Okay, so now I'm getting this information now.
Uh-oh.
The name Sandro Vladimir Martinez Matakin.
I saw that name yesterday, yes.
Yeah.
That was one of the names floated for this guy.
Yeah, so.
That's four names.
I guess they cannot confirm that this is indeed that man. That was just the name provided.
Boy, things really get crazy when it involves both a vagrant and an illegal immigrant.
Yeah, I know.
You can't really get lost in the record books.
You can't get the basic information out of anybody anymore. Just tell me who he is. How'd he get here? Why was he in Lancaster?
Everybody's afraid of backlash. They're afraid of cancel culture. They're afraid of all these things now.
Everybody's afraid of everything.
You're demonizing, John. That's right. If you report it's an illegal alien,
Everybody's afraid of telling the truth. That's what's going on.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much for that update. Steve Gregory reporting on the deputy probation officer in Lancaster who was killed by a home invasion. Brutal murder and difficulty with the ID of this criminal known as John Doe officially in the records. And Steve just did a name that they apparently have attached to him, but he probably is also likely an illegal immigrant. More coming up. John and Kent show on KFI AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. Well, the police aren't so bad after all. A survey of folks asked about the LAPD. We'll get into that after the news at 3:30. One of the other big stories yesterday, besides the impending hurricane in Florida, and the story we just talked about, the death of a deputy probation officer, a brutal murder. We had the big shootout, which occurred up in Hesperia off the 15 freeway. This all began on Monday when a man identified as Anthony John Graziano shot his wife to death. They were in the process of some kind of divorce. He fled the scene with his 15-year-old daughter, Savannah. So yesterday, at like 11 in the morning, they got a call that somebody recognized Graziano's truck on the 15 freeway. There was an Amber Alert, by the way, for the 15-year-old. And a pursuit began that apparently went 45 miles before the truck became disabled. And there was a shootout. And they killed Graziano, but as it turns out, they also killed the 15-year-old Savannah Graziano. So a lot of questions. This is the San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputies who were involved in this gunfire exchange with Graziano. Now, a couple of things that came out yesterday, and then we have an update with more information today. She apparently was wearing what they call tactical gear or body armor and came running out of the vehicle towards the deputies. Now, is it possible that they thought that was the father, the killer, and that's why they opened fire? But the sheriff out there is also saying, his name is Shannon Dykus, that it's possible, and they think she was actually firing some rounds from the truck as well at police officers. Now, we're going to take a while to sort through this, but what we have learned today, and this is typical for the times, isn't it? Apparently, Graziano actually, he had custody of the girl. She was living with him out of his pickup truck and various hotels in the area and was being homeschooled. So he drives to Fontana on Monday and the wife gets in the truck and they get into some kind of argument and she apparently gets angry and bolts her way out of the truck and that's when he kills her. And then he takes off with the daughter. Now, the Amber Alert went out, but her questions are being raised as to whether or not she went willingly, whether or not she's an accomplice. You see where all this is going? It's very, very hard to sort out. It's probably going to take weeks before they actually, that's the question being raised. Did she go willingly? Was she actually abducted? We can't prove any of that just yet.
Well, when he moved out of the house, she moved with him. Savannah moved with Graziano.
She was staying with him in the pickup truck in the hotels.
He had real custody. It's not like he kidnapped her for this event.
It's possible that she got brainwashed to his side in this domestic dispute. And then when he killed the mother, I don't know if she approved of that or not, but she may have gone off with him willingly. And then the fact that she's wearing the tactical gear, I guess they both realize what could happen if anybody...
Well, that's a first, huh?
How are we going to know? They're both dead. Unless they talk to people who might come forward, messages, anything.
Right.
To give us another idea. Because the mother's dead, the father's dead, and the daughter's dead.
Right.
So they are saying it's possible that Graziano and the daughter were constantly shooting back at the deputies with a rifle through the truck's rear window. You could imagine a situation where he's driving, he wants her to do the shooting. Possibly. Right? It's hard to drive and shoot.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Only in the movies do they do that kind of stuff with any accuracy. Well, that's just nonsense.
I don't know who else would know how these relationships were playing out here.
They are still saying they only found one weapon, a rifle, in the truck with the dead guy. But it's possible she grabbed it and was firing too. Now, when she hopped out of the truck and ran towards deputies, what was that about? Was she waving her arms as to say, save me, help me? And did they legitimately think it might be him coming to harm them? Because they probably couldn't tell with all that gear on. It's not really not easy to exactly tell who's running at you. Mm. Now, neither parent was on probation or parole. So, oh well, this is not L.A. County anyway, but that would have taken Gascon off the hook.
Yeah, right.
They had not received any reports of domestic violence at the home. Child Services was not involved with this family. So they were not on the record for anything.
That doesn't mean anything either.
It doesn't. Yeah. No, this is a wacky guy that was homeschooling his daughter and driving around the mountains and living out of his pickup truck.
Remember the
and feuding with his wife.
And the Frankenstein tattoos on his neck. That's a sign that he was violent and deranged.
Is that in a study somewhere that everybody that has Frankenstein tattoos is violent and deranged?
Yes, wouldn't you think so?
Well, I might think so, but I don't know that.
I would judge everybody
I read. I haven't run into too many people with Frankenstein tattoos, I can't really say.
People with neck tattoos, I judge.
Oh.
I move across the street.
So one deputy was injured by shrapnel during the firefight. Probably what they're doing now, and I think they eventually reopened the 15 freeway, but that there's still got to be some investigating to go through everything forensically and try to get a better idea as to actually how this unfolded.
No video? All those cop cars rolling up?
You would think there would be right dash cam, or there would be body cam.
Maybe. Right.
I don't know the deal with San Bernardino.
Or did everybody turn them off?
Oh.
That happens a lot.
You're not supposed to do that, are you?
Yeah, you're not supposed to, but...
Whoops.
Mysteriously, mistakes are made.
Yes. Eventually what he does is he leaves the freeway at Main Street up there off the 15, and the car is stopped in a dirt shoulder bordered by an off-ramp. But the firing continued. And he claims that they did not recognize Savannah Graziano in all the tactical gear. And all they're saying is she ran towards him and they shot her. So that's just...
That's some family.
Yeah, you'd think there would be... Someone's going to come forward, some kind of relative, either of the mother... All I heard was one guy who knew this dead guy and said he was a great single dad. He was working really hard.
A great single dad.
Yeah, he was. He was trying really hard to take care of his daughter. It was tough.
Other than murdering mom and firing at police officers. Yeah, another loser friend with a useless set of quotes.
I know.
Why do they bother? Why do the reporters do that? If you're trying to get some information and he starts talking about what a great guy he is, why don't you just turn around and walk away? Yeah. You actually publish those comments? No, he's not a great guy if he kills his wife and then tries to kill a bunch of cops. How about take that off the table?
Now, I'm looking at a picture of family members standing near a makeshift memorial. This is where the mother was killed in Fontana. So... I would imagine they'll get involved in trying to give us some clue
The other family members would know what the...
Yeah, whether or not the daughter was more favorable to the father or the mother, where she stood in all this. And now she's living with him, so that gives me the idea that that's where she preferred to be, but I don't know that.
Yeah, you don't know.
It's possible.
Teenagers will make abrupt decisions on who they want to side with.
All right, when we return, a brand new survey out says many Angelinos have a favorable view of the LAPD. Then the rest of the sentence in the Times is, despite lingering concerns around bias.
Yeah. How many times in a week did the LA Times print that line about one thing or another? despite lingering concerns.
That's right.
Where are we at? Lingering concerns?
They're told you can't make this too positive for the police, so find something to put in there.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty much fed up and had it with this. We'll talk about it when we come back. Lingering concerns.
All right, John and Ken show on KFI, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. All right, coming up after 4 o'clock, we'll give you a full update on Hurricane Ian, which has struck Florida and still is, as we speak, hitting land.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
And with extremely high winds, 150 miles an hour or so, we'll give you the full update on the conditions there and the latest that we know. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So a survey was conducted by Loyola Marymount University of Los Angeles residents, and it's all about LAPD. One thing I picked out right away, this is even in the Times, respondents have more faith in their neighbors than the police to do the right thing, but they had less trust in city government or, quote, the media. I like that. So the LAPD ranked higher to do the right thing than the government or the media.
Oh, yeah. No, the government and the media are disasters. They're both entities are damaging to our way of life.
Exactly. They surveyed thousands of people, and roughly 3 in 4 said seeing LAPD cops in their neighborhoods makes them feel safe. 71% believed that police were serving and protecting my neighborhood. And that's up from, and it was still pretty good, 63% in 2020, when we really had the whole defund the police movement going on everywhere, where like LAPD Chief Michael Moore was taking a knee.
Yeah, Garcetti was taking a knee. Wasn't that, as time rolls on, you look back at that, and that really was mass hysteria, wasn't it? Just total mass hysteria.
Right, because every cop in the country is responsible for what the dopes in Minneapolis did to George Floyd.
I didn't understand the day it happened. I never understood for 2 years. One guy does something murderous in Minneapolis, and everybody start. And I still wonder how much of this was quickly organized. If they were lying in wait, these organizations, waiting for a moment, and that they had a plan to flood the streets with these protests. Because I just cannot believe that this many people would overreact to an isolated incident. And it was.
It was 2014 when Michael Brown was killed. Remember that story?
Yes, and that was...
That started some of this.
But I know, but that was a phony story too.
That actually, I think, launched Black Lives Matter.
Right, but that was a phony story.
And then we had a streak of where cops were killed. Rushed, remember that awful period?
Michael Brown rushed the cop who shot and killed him.
Oh, I know that, yeah. But that doesn't matter. It was just a launching point.
Truth doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But I don't understand. I don't care how upset you are with a single case. In what universe do you not want police officers to come if you're in trouble in your home? I can't even conceive of such a thing.
And yeah, there was a researcher that wrote a book, and I was trying to get him on the air a few months ago, and it never came together. Maybe we can still try for that. But he had like all the real statistics on this, because you're right. You cannot cherry pick these incidents. You can't cherry pick and look at what happened with George Floyd. And then, here we are talking about Michael Brown. And yeah, he went after the cop. But this guy actually had the numbers about how few people are unarmed people are killed by police. Very, very low versus the number of encounters, right?
Yes.
You always have to take that into account. How many times do police encounter civilians, residents? It's a high number. How many times do they shoot them dead, unarmed people? Very, 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 very small numbers. And that's where all of this has just gotten so out of whack.
Here, I saved this in May. I found this paragraph in one of the news sites. In 2021, there were 10 million arrests in the United States. And out of 10 million arrests, police shot 6 unarmed black men.
They arrested that many millions of black men?
They had 10 million total arrests.
Total arrests. Okay.
Right. And police shot 6 unarmed black men. That means less than 1 in 1 million ends up in the shooting of an unarmed black man. The same year, 346 police officers were shot. 346. 63 fatally. Most, and about 8,000 blacks were murdered, mostly by other blacks. So those are the facts. Those are the statistics. U.S. government statistics, FBI statistics. I check these periodically. They follow the same proportional patterns all the time. There is not a major problem with police shooting anybody. There just isn't. Doesn't exist. It's occasionally, you know, 1 in a million. And that's always going to happen from time to time. And when somebody's unarmed, it doesn't mean that they didn't pose a threat or it didn't seem to be that they were armed. You know, like the guy who pulled out a cell phone and got shot to death up in Sacramento a couple of years back. You have those fluky situations. But the police aren't going out and executing anybody in an unwarranted manner. It's simply fiction. It's hysteria. And I don't know what to do when an entire society or a significant portion of the society wants to embrace hysteria, wants to embrace a fantasy world that's not, that doesn't actually exist. What do? You sit and argue with them? What are you supposed to do? No, it's not happening.
Wasn't nearly happening. 70% in this survey were against the proposal to defund the police. 70%.
Yes.
So there is always that 30% in any category, isn't there?
And the other 30%, if it actually happened, they'd be the first ones freaking out if they called the police and nobody showed up when they were in trouble. That's really a cheap opinion to have. Defund the police. Really? Good. We'll defund the police for your house. And then we'll send some goons over and see what you're going to do about it.
Even the progressive mayoral candidate, Karen Bass, wants to add 500 police officers.
I don't believe her.
Caruso wants to get the force to 11,000 officers. Yes. Right now there are about 9,700. So he wants to add a couple thousand.
Yeah, the city is 460 square miles. It's 4 million people. We have an absurdly low ratio of police to citizens and police to square mileage.
Right.
We need a lot of extra police. But what he said in the debate, the recruiting classes are really tiny now. The number of graduates out of the classes is minuscule. Nobody wants to become a cop because of all the hatred out there.
All the hatred, right.
And a lot of cops have retired and this guy got out of the business. Who needs this? I mean, it is nothing but irrational insanity that is hyped up by idiot politicians and the morons in the media. All those woke holes to intentionally create anarchy, to create this disturbance of day-to-day life, just to destabilize, because that is their agenda. That's what they want to do, because they think the whole country is illegitimate, shouldn't exist. And so they want to make all normal people uncomfortable.
In a related story, life in L.A. these days, well, I can only say this is a family affair. Kind of weird. They have arrested a teenage boy and a woman for killing that rapper at the Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffles in South L.A. a couple of weeks ago. You may remember that story. It was big news, like 1 p.m. This rapper, PNB Rock, was gunned down while he was sitting there eating food at Roscoe's, and it looks like they wanted his jewelry. So the odd thing here is that they have arrested a woman named Chantel Trone, 38, accessory to murder, a 17-year-old Freddie Trone, who's believed to be her stepson, and they're looking for a 40-year-old man by the name of Freddie Lee Trone, who they believe is the father of the 17-year-old. They have not identified the 17-year-old. The father's name is Freddie Trone, who, has quite a, as you might imagine, an arrest record. He apparently has served time several times. He was arrested in 2020 for having a gun in public along with ammunition. In August of last year, he was accused of violating probation, but they allowed him to remain free. Oh, there you go again. Charged with three felonies, but prosecutors agreed to drop the illegal possession of a gun in public. Ammunition charges. Yeah, this sounds like Gascon, doesn't it? And at the time of a 2020 arrest, he was on 3 years probation for a July 2017 incident, which he was convicted of driving a car with wanton disregard for public safety. He was also convicted in August of 2013 for of assault by means likely to produce great bodily harm. Got a 4-year prison sentence for that attack. So that's the guy they're looking for, who was probably the main shooter in the death of the rapper. But looks like he brought along his 17-year-old son and his wife or girlfriend.
That long list of crimes that you read there, you think that would get him put away in prison for a long time. It is a small number of people who commit crimes over and over and over again. If you put a relatively small number of people away in prison and not let them out, you'd see the crime disappear, because very few people are actually capable of doing this, that want to do this. It's a small number. So I don't know why everyone's so resistant. We don't need these people in circulation. We're not losing anything if they're locked up. I don't know why anybody feels bad. It's like, no, feel good. Feel good. Bad guys are locked up. Means you can walk free.
All right, more coming up. Johnny Kent Show on KFI AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. All right, coming up after 4 o'clock, an update on Hurricane Ian, which is battering Florida. It made landfall today. The west, southwest coast of Florida is where it hit, but it is affecting the entire state with supposedly over 1 million people without power. And one of the things happening right now is some of the people in the area of Fort Myers there on the west coast have made their way to the top of their homes. They're on the roofs trying to avoid the water surge.
The water came right up to the roof.
Yeah,
I saw some video of a neighborhood. And because they were talking about an 18-foot surge. And so if you have a one-story home or even a two-story home,
For people who did not evacuate, this could be a very serious situation. They could drown.
How much do you think a husband and wife are arguing standing on the roof?
About not leaving?
One of them said, "I told you we should leave." Well, then you should have left yourself.
We have incel news. You got to love the incels. You know what an incel is? An incel is somebody who is involuntarily celibate.
Right. And they become mass
hostile.
Killers.
Right. Sometimes killers. Yeah, I was going to say hostile, but you went right for killers.
Well, yeah.
Well, the one we're going to talk about didn't kill anybody, but he was pepper spraying women. And something else about him, his name is Johnny Devin Young. They found him in Vegas, but they brought him back to Orange County. Costa Mesa police got an arrest warrant 5 months ago for him, and they finally found him for attacks on women, 4 counts of illegal use of tear gas, 4 enhancements for personal use of a deadly weapon, 8 felony hate crime enhancements, 5 misdemeanor charges of violations of civil rights. Apparently, he liked to go to public places and bars, other places, and just start altercations, arguments, and eventually you would pepper spray people. Tear gas people.
They had Costa Mesa had an alert out on him way back in May. They had a bulletin.
Yeah, and so he did disappear. Looks like he made his way to Vegas to try to hide.
The bulletin said, "Young has confronted several females outside of bars using vulgar and explicit language." And
he liked to make videos. So part of me thinks this is also this generation who wants to become famous out of making confrontational videos. He actually sold one to the MTV show Ridiculousness, a video of himself berating a Burger King employee over a chicken order. He got $300, supposedly.
Well, if you type in his name into Google, the first thing that pops up is his TikTok account.
Oh, great.
And
he was arrested in 2019 in Vegas for threatening to shoot up a nightclub after they got kicked out. He eventually got probation, which he violated in November of 2020. He was also up in San Mateo County. Wow. stealing somebody's personal identifying information.
You know how the police define an incel?
No.
A person who regards himself as being involuntarily celibate and typically expresses extreme resentment and hostility towards those who are sexually active.
Oh, so that's why you might go to a bar or a nightclub where people are hooking up.
Right. So what he did, and this was back in November that they originally encountered him, he would harass women with explicit language saying he wanted to see her private parts and asked to have sexual relations with her, and did not put it as politely as that.
He's a long-haired, a bearded guy looking at his, it's probably his mugshot. He's got the really long hair, kind of crazy eyes.
Yeah.
But I also told you I was suspicious in this story that he's also just trying to make videos to...
Well, you know, it's both. He's probably a psycho, and he realizes being a psycho on camera can get him some hits and maybe some money on social
media. Now, he's 25, and I saw this story today that made me think of him. According to a new survey, one out of every six young adults aged 18 to 24 are neither in school nor working.
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
So then you might say, what are they doing?
Well, this.
Yeah, some of them are making videos. They think they can be self-employed.
Yeah.
Some of them are absolutely literally doing nothing. Some of them are pondering the navel and their future.
Yeah, that's actually...
But I thought about this guy. He's a little... He's 25, but I thought this is what he does. He tries to sell videos to MTV shows where he's causing trouble. That's more fun to do than a real job.
Well, it's...
Who wants to work behind a counter?
Well, this has been going on for a while where, you know, you know it depends what neighborhood you're in. You know, some people think they're going to become sports stars, right? NBA players. Or baseball players, and they don't have the talent for it. And then some people think, well, I can be a social media star. I can be on TikTok. I can have my own YouTube channel.
And some people do make money off of that.
Right, a tiny percentage. See, that's the thing. It's a very small number, but it looks like something anyone can do. And
yeah, then you try to get a following, right?
Right, and then also, it's not something that's sustainable. There aren't. I mean, YouTube's been around for a while now. I don't think there's any 42-year-olds running around doing wacky stunts and making money off it. So it's amazing. And this I didn't know about human nature until the arrival of social media. How desperate people are to be noticed. I guess this is always inside people. Can you imagine people in the 1880s or the 1920s? Wanting to be noticed this badly? It seems ridiculous, doesn't it?
They didn't have the social media age we have.
Right,
where,
but
I guess you look like you can be a star.
But it would have happened, I guess, right? It would have happened.
Started with a selfie.
If all those people who walked around, you know, the women with their long dresses down to their ankles, the guys wearing top hats and vests and overcoats, would all those people have been seduced by social media if somebody had invented it in 1922? Was that always lurking inside of us?
They said the other thing that really kicked us into high gear, and they called them Generation COVID, with the pandemic really caused a lot of people to just say, ah, screw it. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not going to go to college. I don't want to have a job. I'll figure it out. Just give me some time. And here we are 2.5, 3 years later, and they're still swimming around trying to figure out what to
do. Well, they don't want the debt. And, you know, a lot of jobs are terribly boring jobs, especially office jobs. That's what we're finding out now, you know, with all these people who refuse to go to work or refuse to go back to work and they want to work out of their home. Right. It's because it's what I always suspected when I always called them cubicle people, because the cubicle jobs looked miserable to me. And I was right. Nobody wants to go back to those cubicle jobs. They all, at the very least, they want to stay home. If they've got to do it, they want to do it from their bedroom. But they don't actually want to be in other cubicles and listening to other people prattle office conversation all day. It's a certain kind of hell.
All right, Hurricane Ian is really going on a rampage through Florida, and it's making its way towards places like Orlando. It hit landfall on the southwest coast of Florida, still 150-mile-per-hour winds, and it's flooding cities up and down the Gulf Coast. We'll talk about it next. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
"Let me run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.